Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless. Let's read this. I want to just actually let you listen. This is Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and then they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is raised from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, I have told you." So the women, they ran quickly from the tomb, and they were both very frightened and also filled with great joy. And they rushed to find the disciples and gave them the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they ran to him and they held his feet and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell your brothers to leave for Galilee and I will see you there." Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But there were still some among them that doubted. And then Jesus came and he told his disciples, "I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all of the things that I have commanded you. And be sure of this one thing: I am with you always, even to the end of the age." If you'd pray with me, I'd like to just ask the Holy Spirit to seal that word in our hearts once again. Jesus, we want to thank you for your commitment to life, to bringing us into life, for abundant life that you offer not only today but every day. So we are so grateful for this time. Now, Holy Spirit, come and seal this word in our hearts. Let us have ears to hear what you're saying to us. Amen. So, you know, today is, it's all about new beginnings. And there's different days that mark new beginnings for us, aren't there? I mean, obviously, New Year's is one of those. And I remember the first time that I became aware that New Year's was a big deal. I don't know why it hadn't been such a big deal, probably because I was raised in the South. And in the South, there's three major holidays. There's Memorial, that's when you have your barbecue. And then there's the 4th of July, that's when you have your barbecue. And then there's Labor Day, and that's when you have your other barbecue, right? So for some reason, New Year's didn't really make that big of an impact on me when I was a little kid. But when I was about 8 years old, I had moved to Germany. My brother and my sister and us kids, we were just exploring this whole new world of, you know, a village that looked like something out of a postcard. And I remember my parents getting invited to a family dinner, a couple's dinner in the village there. And they trusted us. I was about 8 years old, and my brother, he's probably about 12. And so we went, you know, we went about our business on New Year's Eve. And then I remember I fell asleep, which, you know, every other year I'd fall asleep until midnight happened. And that's when all the fireworks in the entire world lit up right by my house, because we live kind of on a hill. And I never knew the importance of celebrating a new beginning until that day. And then, well, the rest is history. New Year's Eve is the time to be had. It's like so many hopes, so many imaginations get stirred with a new beginning. So many thoughts about what life was like in the year past, and what life can be like moving forward. And there's different days that mark that for different people. Sometimes it's your birthday. I know that Tiffany and I, we had the privilege of going to a large event this last August. It's called the Burning Man, which some of you may have heard about. And there's 65,000 people there, and there's a big deal happening. And it's really an amazing cultural sort of study on new beginnings. Because the culmination of that week and a half there in the desert of Nevada, where we were just able to be with people and just have a good time ourselves, we just realized that there is a significance to new beginnings. There's a significance to a marked time, because the last night after the 40-foot wooden statue of a man is burnt to the ground, we were surprised as we were walking through the dusty streets of that makeshift city that people would look you in the eye the next morning and say, Happy New Year. Now, this was September 1st. It's fascinating to me that there are people, ourselves included, who long to have marked occasion for new beginnings. Because new beginnings mean new hope. And so for us, as followers of Jesus, this day brings such tremendous hope, such tremendous anticipation of new possibilities. And so, what are the possibilities that lie ahead of you? If you were to mark today as a new beginning, if you were to imagine that the reason why Christ came was not only to give us an example of what is possible in relationship with God, the God of the universe, what is possible to be living not under the shroud of this world and all of its limitations, but living in the reality of God's kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven. He not only came to give us that, but he came to literally die for our sins. He came to be the replacement, the ransom, to bring redemption to us. And then in that, his resurrection marks everything associated with hope. And so, what are the possibilities for you and I? The life of Jesus empowers hope. So let hope arise in your hearts. You know, it was interesting that his commission to the disciples was backed with a promise. As we read in Matthew, it says, "Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, how is it possible, since Jesus is in heavenly places praying for you and I right now, that he is with us to the end of the age? And this is where the Trinity comes in, and the Spirit of Christ becomes made real to us. Because he reminds us in his encouragement, Jesus speaks to us in John 14, says, "I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you another helper, a counselor, who will not leave you." Sound familiar? He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't even looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you do, because he lives with you now, and later he will be with you and be in you. "No, I am not abandoning you as orphans. I will come to you. In just a little while, the world will not see me again, but you will. For I will live again, and you will live again too." We had the privilege of going to a Passover meal. It's called the Seder. It leads us into what today represents right now, which is actually first fruits. And Jesus is the first fruit. In fact, Romans 8:29 tells us that he is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And as followers of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the one who raised Christ from the dead is alive in you. Can you hear that? It's awesome. The Spirit of the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive in you. And it's that same power at work in your mortal bodies that brings hope for new beginnings. Now, I have two thoughts here about entering into this new possibility, entering into what's likely for you. If you catch it and agree with it, cooperate with it, partner with it, say yes to it, The first one is this, that unlike traditional New Year's resolutions, your chances of experiencing happiness, fulfillment, joy, peace, patience, blessings, purpose, love, all of these, the chances of you experiencing these things do not hinge on your striving. Unlike all of the self-help programs that we look to for hope, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, which brings happiness, fulfillment, joy, peace, favor, blessings, purpose, love, it is your inheritance. And it is up to you and I to receive it. That requires something of us that many of us aren't actually ready to do. Now, I said there's no striving in this, but it doesn't mean that it's always easy. Because like all good new beginnings, it starts with a death. And our pride dies hard. And we are so prone to striving and performing to attain what's good. And yet in our surrender, it's not only our egos that die, it's our hopelessness, our anxiety, our depression, despair, worry, and just general dis-ease. So imagine the invitation to experience abundant life coming in the form not of striving, but in the form of a relationship, in the form of friendship. This has long been one of my favorite passages. It's 2 Peter 1, 3. This might be a new translation for you. I like the way it reads because I can make sense of it. 2 Peter 1, 3 says this, as you know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a life that God intends for us. His divine power gives us everything we need for a godly life. And he has called us to receive his very own glory and goodness. And by the same mighty power, which power is that? That's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. He has given us all his rich and wonderful promises. And he has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil, and that you will share in his divine nature. This is where our effort comes in. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Make every effort to receive. So in our surrender, in our deepening relationship with Christ, we experience new life and the possibilities unfold for us. So the second thing I'd like to share about this is unlike the yearly cycle of New Year's and birthdays, this new life in God has a much more frequent orbit. I was talking with some friends this week, Dave and Marcia, and they brought this encouragement to our hearts. They were like, if you think about peace, it can relate to the manna that the children of God experienced in the wilderness. This wholeness, its possibilities equals manna. It's God's provision for that day. And so, Lamentations 3:21. I dare to hope. Can you dare to hope? This is not a pep rally. This is real life stuff. This isn't a desire of mine to manipulate emotions and cause effect. This is a real invitation. Can you dare to hope? Some of you have been through long seasons of darkness. Some of you have been through long seasons. Can you dare to hope? Some of you have been through anguish, human suffering. Can you dare to hope? I dare to hope when I remember this. The unfailing love of God never ends. By his mercies, we have been kept from every destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin fresh every day. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him and seek him. So are you ready to enter into your new life with God? All of us, every single one of us, can we dare to hope that there's new possibilities? I'd like to read this poem, and this is a blessing, hopefully, to your heart as you joyfully trust God with the new possibilities. In the out-of-way places in your heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you're ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you have actually outgrown. It watched when you played with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered. Heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent, wondering, would you always live like this? Then the delight, when your courage kindled, and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plentitude opening before you. Though your destination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning. That is at one with your heart's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be at home in a new rhythm, and your soul senses the world that awaits you. So I do bless you all. I mean, I imagine not only for you personally, but for what that means for us as a community of believers, when we share our lives together, what that means for us, how you're encouraging me, how we're able to encourage each other as we lift our eyes a little bit. And the imagination that I have right now is that the Holy Spirit was walking around. He wants to give lift to your step. He wants to lift your burden. He wants to give you a sense of hope. And he's doing that this morning, and he's going to do it tomorrow morning, and the next morning, and the next morning. So God bless all of you.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.